Now, I've got to start with some bad news, guys.
Uh-oh.
The flies escaped from the jar.
Georgina, what are you doing?
Wasn't looking after it. The top came off.
Yeah, for anyone who's not heard this podcast before, you know, we used to try and guess how many flies there were in the jar every week, and I think Georgina just didn't screw the top off.
Why does that end the game? Why I'm going to win zero.
Well, we didn't have time. We didn't have time to go out and get some more flights. So that's it. So this is Monkey Fingers at the Crypt. Yes, this is Monkey Fingers at the Crypt. I'm Brian Lough, and I'm here with the extremely well-groomed Mr. James Shakeshaft, the alarmingly ill-disciplined Georgina Salby.
Thank you very much indeed. Us
today are comedian Adam Green.
Hello.
And our music guests are the amazing Orphan Colours. We'll be hearing from them a little bit later on. And pressing the buttons in the box, as ever, is the very enthusiastic Mr. Adam Stokes.
Hi, Adam.
Hi, Adam.
How are you this week, Adam?
I'm doing fantastic, guys.
Yeah, you're a bit quiet. I can't really hear you. We're not really very interested in what you've got to say anyway, to be honest. So we're going to kick off with Georgina's wonderful world of knowledge. What have you got for us in your wonderful and very enjoyable world of knowledge this week, Georgina?
Going to ask a question, and I want everyone to answer as honestly as they can. In your home, in your toilet, your bathroom, does the toilet roll go over or under? Are you an over family or an under family?
Over. The only way. Over.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I do it the right way.
I go over.
You go over as well. Over.
Is that significant?
Guys? Guys in the band?
Over.
All over?
Over.
I go over, but my wife goes under.
Oh, no! You've married outside your own cast.
Hold on, will she actually swap it then? If you've done over, will she go into the bathroom and turn it to under?
I'll swap it back.
Oh, wow, a battle of wills.
Well, after they've done a study of people.
I had a feeling they will have done a study.
I'm not just asking randomly here. Toilet paper. People with higher incomes prefer the toilet paper over. And people with lower incomes prefer the under. In fact, they actually set the bar at $50,000. People who earn more than $50,000 a year, what's that, the equivalent of 35 grand a year? They prefer over.
Say that.
And people who actually earn less than $20,000 a year will put the toilet paper under.
There's 30 grand middle ground. Of people who, what are they wiping their bum with?
They just can't decide, they have the argument, one of them puts it over and one of them puts it back under.
You know what freaks me out? You know that the paper is two-ply. And that sometimes that becomes separated and one goes over and one goes under. And the effect is that the paper ends at a different length.
Yeah.
It's an inch difference.
Yeah.
And for years I couldn't work out what to do if that happened.
Well, you know
until someone explained
to
me that
you just turn it and roll it the other way.
Burn it all.
Try and just push it down the toilet, the whole thing. Just move house.
But I've got something even more disturbing than that to bring up. What is the deal with hotels folding over and making a little pointy end?
Yeah, because if you're half cut and you come in and they've turned your room down, you can cause yourself a nasty injury.
Because it's pointy, isn't it, on the end?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But why do they do that?
You know why, don't you? It's when you first sit on the toilet when you get into a hotel room, what you do is you use the pointy end to remove the fluff from your belly button before you start any ablutions. That's what I always do.
I really wondered where that mime was going when you started.
It's what you use a pointy tip for. Anyway, do you know the stuff that gathers in the bottom of your jeans pocket or your coat pocket? You know the little linty stuff?
Is there a name for it?
It is, and it's a brilliant name. It's a great word to say, but I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it. It's gnur. It's G-N-U-R-R.
No. Do you have problem? Do you have a problem with your pockets?
Lint in the bottom of your pockets.
I just cut the pockets out. Problem.
Is it even on your very short denim shorts? You cut the pockets out on that. Yeah, because otherwise they hang down beyond.
That's a good that's point. Yeah, that's yeah. And then your nerves on display. I'm being very foul today. I apologise.
If you cut your pockets out, where do you keep your holiday money?
Money bell
on holiday.
He's contactless. He's contactless. Look at him. He's got an Apple Watch. He's probably got a button in his finger. I don't know.
I was thinking about getting one of those, but then I was just worried about people stealing my finger.
Well, the consequences now of people stealing your finger are a lot worse than they would have been beforehand.
People were worried you'd be able to cut someone's finger off and use it with their card, but you can't because it actually detects a pulse as well, so the person has to be behind the finger. You can't just chop a finger off and then just use the finger. Anyway. I found out a thing this week that's to stop you getting angry. This is a thing you can do. Alcohol. If you find yourself, alcohol, yeah, is one of them, but if you find yourself like losing your temper more often than you should do, you have to use your non-dominant hand for tasks for 2 weeks, and that will bring your temper down.
Yes.
That's a thing. They've actually decided. So if you, is everyone here right-handed, left-handed?
I'm left-handed.
You're a left-handed. So can you use your right hand to do anything?
Yes. Definitely.
You can. So if you lose your temper often, if you write or do cut or whatever with your right hand, if you move it over to your left, you will become less aggressive.
And what's the scientific mechanic behind this?
Because you have to concentrate more and you have to get down and you have to think. So if you write with your left hand, if you write sort of a paragraph with your left hand, you become calmer.
Are you not angry that your writing's now crap?
What makes you angry, Adam? Because you're a very laid-back person, I've noticed that. But what makes you angry?
Injustice.
No, I'm all right with that. I don't know, people pushing in at a bar. That's probably like the angriest I get. You know, when you've been at a bar for ages and someone comes up and just to order a drink.
At that point, if you got all the money from your wallet and started using your right hand, you might calm down a little bit.
For 2 weeks.
But you've got to do the actions for 2 weeks in order to bring your temper down.
I'm normally all right once I've got the drink. Yeah, I mean, it all comes back to the alcohol thing.
Yeah,
feed
me as soon as possible.
What makes you angry, James?
Loads. Lots of stuff. Shit shop names, obviously. Yeah. I saw one today driving here. It fucked me off so much. This is a shop. On every level, this fucks me off. The Great British Vape Shop. Fuck off! What? Like, first of all, it's a vape shop, so I'm already eggy.
Yeah.
And then it's a shit pun. It's meant to be Great British Bake Off.
Yes, but it's badly.
The Great British Vape Shop. Because that's what we're known for in the world.
Yeah.
English breakfast, Bulldog Spirit, vapes.
It'd be better if it was called Vape Off, wouldn't it?
Oh.
And so there was an element of competition to it.
Yeah, or...
competitive vaping.
Go vape yourself.
Go vape. that just sounds like something Adam would do with his right hand.
Do we have any vapers in? Are you a vapor?
I'm not a vapor.
Any vapers in the band? No. See, they're clean living bunch, you see.
Yeah.
Don't believe what they tell you about rock and roll.
They're clean living. You can't vape heroin. Yeah.
Do you know what I also discovered this
just
week?
A little syringe with a blue light. Shine it on there.
Every atom in your body is like billions of years old. Did you know that? I didn't know. I feel like I've watched Brian Cox, Lovely Foxy Coxy, enough to know that every atom is billions of years old. But I didn't know the atoms that made us up were billions of years old and that we can share atoms with other people.
Yeah, because it's the conservation of energy, isn't it?
Yeah. The conservation is 40 million years old.
Yeah, it's just the same stuff going around since the Big Bang. There's nothing new being... You're not making new matter for anything.
It's all there already.
You are what you eat.
Then that's atoms.
If the atoms on your face get too old, you can just put makeup on.
Yes.
Cover them up, can't you?
Yeah.
Which is also atoms.
But I also worked out...
Which is, very true.
That's true. So you're adding more atoms, more attractive atoms... But the atoms
in the makeup are also billions of years old as well.
Everything is.
Ironically.
And you were chatting before the show about your family history. And do you know that you being born is one in 400 trillion.
Hang on, 400 trillion what?
Sperms. Those are the odds.
Right.
One in 400 trillion.
That you won't be born.
No, that you are born. That you will be born.
That you're not someone else.
Yeah. That your you is a one in four.
But you'd still be someone else, so it wouldn't matter.
Are you slagging off my mum?
Interestingly, the reason there is a universe is because it's mathematically more likely that there will be something than nothing. Did you know that?
We're going down a hole.
No, that's true.
A whole road that I wasn't
expecting. Mathematically, it's far more likely that something will be than not be.
Than not be. Well, where is not something not happening then?
That's what the song Kesara's about.
Oh, right.
There's no such thing. Is there such a thing as nothing? So how can nothing exist? So something's going to be, isn't
there? I don't think we want to get into this early in the evening, really.
No, there are not enough beers being consumed.
We haven't had enough vapes, heroin vapes for this sort of chat.
I think you've got time for one more enjoyable world of knowledge, Georgina.
Yes, I was watching a TV programme the other day, and I was watching one of the first ever circuses in Britain. There was a woman on horseback. And her thing, her act, was that she dipped her hands in honey and then attracted a whole load of bees to her hands, and she rode around on horseback, being covered in bees, and actually riding around the circus covered in bees. And I'm just wondering if the bees were part of the circus, or whether they always just hoped there'd be enough bees in the vicinity.
In
other words,
because I mean, you could actually dip your hands in honey and like go riding around, and no bees were attracted.
Saying is, did they travel with the bees?
Well, that's
Or lose?
Have they got a jar of bees? I don't know. What you see,
did they get local talent?
Yeah, they probably call up the local bees, call ahead around the apiaries, and be like, "You got any bees?
Are
we looking for some bee extras?"
Yeah.
Speaking as a producer, I'd rather travel with my own bees because you can't, you know, you don't know that the local talent is going to be reliable, do you?
That's true. But what if you fall out with them bees? Like, what if they just...
Like diva bees?
Yeah.
But I'm not doing it again. They're I'm not doing
queen
the honey
bees.
Thing again.
Beyonce.
Oh.
Yeah, Beyonce.
Oh,
exactly.
Nice.
Why did she need to be on a horse?
Made it more exciting, I suppose. If you could just dip your hands in honey and run around.
Yeah, no, that does look like a certain
That looks like a really shit circus act. But on a horse, maybe it just...
But surely it's the being covered in bees thing.
Yeah, you'd think that would be the more oppressive thing. But no.
Oh, she can ride a horse.
Well,
no
maybe
hands.
It's a very big circus and she needed to show it round to the whole audience and that way, you know...
Else are you going to get around?
Yes, she needed the horse.
Golf cart.
Yeah.
So should we move on, Georgina?
Yes.
Should we move on to this week's edition of Desert Island Don'ts? A very simple premise for this item. What's the last thing in the world that you would want to take to a desert island? Think of it as the opposite of desert island discs. Do you want to kick us off with that, James?
Yes.
What's the last thing you would take to a desert island?
A wind-up radio.
Why?
A wind-up radio.
Well,
that's the whole purpose of the wind-up radio.
An electric radio, would be silly. But a wind-up radio, for multiple reasons. First of all, I don't need to hear about the world, do I? I don't need to hear the news if I'm stuck on a desert island. That's just going to annoy me.
What are you going to do all day, though?
Well, if I listen to the radio, if I listen to Desert Island Discs, I might hear someone's really good idea of something to bring on a desert island. I'm going to be fuming.
You would.
Swine me up, that radio would.
Or you'd just be going like, oh, you know nothing of living on a desert island.
Yeah.
This is not the music you need.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't need pan pipes
you
in power. I don't need whale song. You need high-powered techno, that's right.
Get nothing done otherwise.
And I know at some point I'd think I could disassemble this radio and make it into a speaker radio rather than a receiver.
Transmitter.
Transmitter rather than a receiver, because I think you'd just turn it inside out.
Whereas you know that you would take it apart and just not be able to...
Yeah, I'd just break my radio then, and then I just have the pieces of a wound-up radio on that, so that's mine.
What would you not want on a desert island?
A bag of Travis Perkins at sand.
That would rather be.
Sand's better there anyway.
No, but you're assuming that there's sand on the island.
It's a desert island.
No,
we cut every week.
Not every beach. Not every beach has sand on it. You know,
it could be pebbles. If you could go be to like Brighton, you see. Yeah, that's what we're working on. It
exactly.
could be
pebbly.
Brighton-esque, uncomfortable, and really gravelly. Right, because if you actually sit in Brighton, right at the very edge where the waves come in, you get an awful lot of gravel.
It's just gravel.
Because most of the beaches on the south coast are not naturally sandy anyway. They shovel the sand onto Bournemouth Beach,
really,
out of the back of a lorry. Yeah. And if it wasn't for the dredging the sand up from the bottom of Poole Harbour and sprinkling it over the beach once a year, there would be no sand on Bournemouth Beach, and no one would go there.
Where
sandbanks is?
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that eroding?
No, but what they do is they take the sand from the sandbank's end and they move it to the other end so that the stony bit is sandy as well.
So it's like a cheat beach.
So on that basis, you would be advised to take sand to a desert island just in case there's no natural sand there.
It's the same as the bees thing. You're not trusting the local talent.
That is true.
You want to bring your own bees. You want to bring your own sand.
Yeah, you're trusting.
Well, I'm not planning on building a load of multi-million pound houses on the coast there, so I'm not worried about a bit of roads. It'd be fine.
Georgina, what would you not take?
I'm not going to take my collection of fridge magnets because I don't think there's anything metal on an island and they wouldn't be able to stick to anything.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
You could fashion it as a compass. Call. You can make yourself a compass. Then you could know which way is north because you wouldn't be able to tell from the sun.
This is a man who's not going to take a radio and you're telling me that I need to take fridge magnets to get them. I don't want to know. If you don't want to hear the world news, I certainly don't want to know which way is north. You can tell that by looking at the North Star anyway, though.
Well, you wouldn't know which star was the North Star if you didn't know which way was north.
If the two of you went together, at least if you took your radio, she'd have something to stick her fridge magnets on.
And then thereby blank the radio. Yeah.
So you want to know what I wouldn't?
Please tell me what you're not going to take to a desert island.
Non-squeezy Marmite.
Oh, this is something that really gets your goat.
I've got
isn't
a real
it?
Problem with this.
With non-squeezy Marmite.
Well, because when squeezy Marmite came out, we got very, very excited in our
house.
You
did.
Very excited because I've always hated scraping the Marmite out the bottom of the jar. It's a nightmare.
Mm.
So when squeezy Marmite came out, very excited, all you do is just squirt it over the toast. Lovely. Then, just as my whole life became adjusted to squeezy Marmite, I stopped doing squeezy Marmite. So now I'm forced to once again scrape the Marmite out of the
it's
jar
like a
with a knife.
Bell,
the
isn't
thing
it?
That I hate doing the most.
So you'd rather not eat Marmite?
I'd rather not take non-squeezy Marmite. I only want to take squeezy Marmite.
What you should have done, and this is no help now, is that last squeezy Marmite jar that you had, you should have kept that.
It,
and then a little Marmite funnel, you're right in a
James,
note.
Don't think I haven't thought of that a
just
thousand
written.
Times. When the argument starts every morning, why don't we have squeezy Marmite? Why don't we have squeezy Marmite? I think, why didn't I save that last bottle?
Well, you're a squeezy Marmite man, Adam.
Sounds like you should be talking to his dad.
No, I don't like any kind of Marmite. Actually.
No kind.
Apparently, you either love it or
Boys
hate
in the band,
it.
Yeah. Marmite. Yes. No.
No.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Love your it. Wife.
Yeah. The underlady. Underlady likes it. That's fine. That's good. Okay, so we're not taking fridge magnets. We're not taking wind-up radios. We're not taking sand, and we're not taking unsqueezable Marmite.
But I think if you're on a desert island that's warm, you don't. Your Marmite is going to be a lot more viscous than normal.
Yeah, but where are you going to get your B vitamins from? Oh, no, bananas. Yeah, okay. No, cancel that.
So, guys, we didn't just get this band along to talk to them about Marmite. Should we have some music?
Yeah.
Let's hear the first track from Orphan Colours.
To leave.
Orphan Colours there, fantastic stuff, guys. Now, you've just got an album out, haven't you? I understand. A couple of days ago.
It came out on Friday on At the Helm Records.
It's called All on Red. Tell us a bit about the album.
Well, it's been sort of coming together over the past couple of years. It took a while for us to make it. But yeah, first, it's a debut album from the band. And All on Red, the title is a bit of a, well, it's a betting term, basically, about the gamble of the music biz.
So you're taking it on the road this year?
Yeah, we started our tour actually on the 12th of January up north in North England, but the rest of it's throughout February, and the next date's the 3rd in Portsmouth.
And you're doing the festival circuit this year. So many festivals now, isn't there, in the UK?
Yeah, we are. I thought you might ask me that. I think the only one I can remember that we're doing is Beardy Folk Festival, but there are a few others in the pipeline
as well. The Beardy Folk Festival. Yeah, well, yeah. Two of us are qualified to go to that. Yeah. This program. Georgina, maybe you could...
Do you have to have a beard to go?
Grow a beard?
Stick on.
In time for that. So where are you guys from?
I've got a lady beard.
Where are you from?
I'm from Glasgow. The rest of the guys are more or less from London.
From London, aren't we?
You're from Essex, Graham.
Yeah. Well, London.
Originally,
anyway. Yeah. So, yeah. You're London, friend. Yeah, born in London. There we go.
So you've got a very American sound. So I mean, what were your influences growing up?
I think for most of us it was sort of West Coast 60s, 70s harmony music, basically.
Yeah, that and watching Top Gun.
Playing with the boys.
Watching Top Gun. Well, there'll be another song from Orphan Colours a little bit later on in the programme to round off the show. But next up, it's Trump News.
This is actually breaking. This happened last night.
Breaking Trump news.
Yeah.
yesterday.
Yeah, last night. It's close enough to breaking. All right? Breaking Trump news. We found a present from Christmas that he'd not yet opened. It was a gun that fired bubbles. Bubble gun. Just a little thing from a pound shop, and he was desperate to play with it, but it was bath time, the thing took batteries, we had to distract him with some bubble bath, fortunately, that man, and a toy boat. Now, in the morning, as promised, he had a great time playing with it, playing with the bubble gun, quoted as saying, "Look, so many bubbles."
Yes.
Then he started firing at our faces, which is a little bit annoying, but he was enjoying himself, so... Yeah. You know, we let it carry on. And he started firing it straight up in the air, and some of the bubble juice, washing up liquids, dripped in his eye. He started crying.
No.
Yeah. So we just put him down for his nap.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, bless him.
Sorry, that's the story about my toddler again. see, if I don't label him, this is going to happen
easy
every
week. Easy the mucks.
Fast becoming my favourite item. Moving on to books we haven't read yet. So, James, what book have you not read this week?
I've actually been doing a lot of reading this week, but one of the things I didn't read was a bit of the internet about why there's... It's because I went to Poole the other day, and there's a Taco Bell in Poole. There's a Taco Bell in Poole. I was astounded.
Isn't Poole like the poshest place you can live if you don't live in Mayfair?
Not the high street.
It's the most expensive property in the UK.
Yeah. It's in Dorset.
It's where they have fake beaches.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Do they have fake sand there?
It's next to the place you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Sandbanks.
Sandbanks, yes. Just along from there. Yeah. Very footballers live there, that sort of thing.
So but what's
a
redknapp?
That's why they have a Taco Bell, because footballers live there.
No, but also it goes under shit shot names. Taco Bell, impractical. That's going to crack.
It is going to crack.
But... I did a tiny bit of Googling about it, and I found a little bit of the... There's like 30 Taco Bells in Britain.
No, I didn't know. I genuinely didn't know there were any Taco Bells anywhere in Britain.
There's 30.
Where?
There's three
Where are
in
these?
Sheffield.
That's an unnecessary amount.
But the bit
amount.
Of the internet that I didn't read was why.
So you didn't actually not read a book?
No, I read most of the books.
Read all the books.
Yeah. Okay. Georgina, do you have
anything? This week I haven't read the book How to Survive a Garden Gnome Attack, Defend Yourself When the Lawn Warriors Strike, and They Will.
Real book? Real book? Or did you...
It's a real book.
Or did you dream it?
It is about the apocalyptic gnome survival, and it's how to prepare yourself for when gnomes attack.
Are you allowed to call them gnomes? Is that the...
I don't know, Riz. Yeah, it's
small
not PC
people?
Anymore.
Yeah. You've got to be careful.
Small
you
ceramic
get the...
people. But it actually went in really well with another book I haven't read about Japanese feudalism and their systems, because quite a lot of houses, I was thinking, because the floor in my house creaks all the time because it's old, but in feudal Japan, because ninjas could strike at any time, and I was thinking about the gnomes, they used to actually put in squeaky floorboards so they could hear the ninjas coming.
Okay.
So
I was thinking, if your gnomes are sort of in the back of your garden and you're preparing for the onslaught in your house, I presume they're coming towards the house, then what you do is you put little squeaky bits all over your decking, and you can hear it when the gnomes come towards the house.
Or rip the decking out just to have a gravel drive.
Yes. Nothing creates noise like gravel, does it?
Mm. So, Georgina, did you pick this up in a charity shop?
No.
Yes, I did, yes. Yeah. It's a book that someone else hasn't read as well. That's how it works.
Adam, any books you haven't read this week?
Well, back in June 2003, my mother went out, got me the copy of the fifth Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, the fifth Harry Potter book. And I sat down, started reading it that day, got to page 36, and that's where I still am. So I haven't read that book this week, or any other books. I don't read books.
Have you?
I can't read.
Never, have you ever finished a book?
Yeah, when I was like
little,
eight.
Yeah, shorter books.
I'm still working my way through the Harry Potter and the Chamber of Commerce.
That's not a real book. What has happened there is you've got two books and you've left them in a wet bathroom, and they've stuck together.
So the book I haven't read.
Yeah, what haven't you read?
The book I haven't read this week. It's called Five Very Good Reasons to Punch a Dolphin in the Mouth.
Excellent.
Cocky.
Why haven't you read that book, though? That's kind of a book you'd want to read.
It's by a cartoonist called Matthew Inman.
Yeah.
So it's even worse that I haven't read it, because there's hardly any words in it.
No,
it's
all a picture.
It's mostly pictures.
Yeah.
But don't ask me what the five reasons are, because I'm not going to open the book, because I'm offended by the whole idea of punching a dolphin.
Why?
In the
mouth.
They're
so annoying.
It's offensive
to me. They're the sycophants of the animal kingdom. they're always like grinning and laughing.
Yeah, that's true.
Laughing at like.
There are other chapters in the book. One chapter is called Eight Reasons to Keep a Canadian as a Pet. Six reasons that man nipples are awesome.
Ooh.
Nipples.
And five reasons to have rabies instead of babies. I mean, I can lend it to you, Georgian. If you fancy it, I can pass it on to you. Because I'm not even going to open it.
Isn't it actually a thing, though, if you're attacked by a shark? Not that I would ever be so prepared that I would do it, but don't you punch a shark in the eye and that stops it?
I think
it
knows.
Is it on the
nose? You've got to pop a thumb in its eye.
Yeah.
Punch it on the nose. Yeah.
And call it a slag.
Yeah. Yeah.
And take it for a Taco Bell in Poole or Sheffield.
Well, it's coastal. I go to Poole.
Poole.
I think you can't punch underwater though. If a shark's biting you, you can't.
Yeah,
have you ever tried
to
move fast underwater? It's impossible.
Once. No, you can't. Can you?
You have to wait till the shark comes out of the water.
Oh, to attack
and
it.
Then you land. Swing
it.
At it while it's...
hold your fist out
and wait for a shark
to swim in.
Yeah, because they swim really fast. Yeah, don't they?
Yeah,
famously. But that's not a dolphin. There's a reason to punch a shark in the face. He's biting you.
I know, but this is reasons not to punch a dolphin.
It's called Five Very Good Reasons to Punch a Dolphin in the Face, which is why I'm so offended by it.
I go along with James, and I think they're a tiny bit showy-offy. Because aren't they the only animals, fish, mammals, that like jump and turn around just for the joy of it?
They're the only mammals
like wasting
that
energy
have sex
for no
for
reason.
Fun.
No, do they have sex for fun? Who does that?
Disgusting.
Carry on.
We would love to hear from you out there in podcasting land. Let us know.
Do you have sex for fun?
Let us know. A.
With a dolphin.
Do you have sex for fun? And B. What books have you not read this week? We are studio@monkeyfingers.co.uk, or you can contact us on Twitter @monkeyfingersuk and check out the website monkeyfingers.co.uk. Time for our pandas. Spanish. What's happening, Georgina? Our panda Spanish?
I've no idea. This is a brilliant fact. A trained pigeon can tell the difference between the paintings of Pablo Picasso and Claude Monet.
To what end?
Yeah, exactly. I've written down that fact, and I thought that we could discuss, because I'm thinking, A, why would you train a pigeon? Unless it was going to be maybe it worked in an art gallery and it would need to know the difference between Pablo Picasso. But this is, I'm just wondering about the idea that you can train animals or birds to recognise various paintings and what the significance would be if they could.
How do you know that they recognise the painting?
No, they can tell the difference between the Picasso and the Monet. So if you put them at opposite ends of a gallery and you say to this trained pigeon, fly to the Picasso...
Oh, so they understand English. Them being able to understand English is a little bit more notable than the art criticism. Little Brian Sewell.
Do you remember
Pigeon.
That? Do you remember that brilliant nun that used to do art criticism? Was it, she
that
called
brilliant
Sister,
nun?
No, she was called Sister Wendy, and she had giant teeth at the front of her mouth. And she used to love art so much. And
was
I'm
she a
just imagining, yeah. No, I was just imagining a little pigeon in a little, what do you call the things? Wimples.
Habit.
Habits. No, what are the winkles? Wimples. What do they wear? They are called wimples.
I've seen Sound of Music. I know these things.
That and Nazi, you know, nuns and Nazis.
No. So James is quite right. If they've trained pigeons to understand English,
yes.
Then the fact that they're demonstrating that via modern art is not really.
Maybe that's the pigeon's choice.
Yes.
They're like, we're really into art, guys.
Yeah. You can tell. Well, what else would you train them to go towards then? Like, if you could train them to tell the difference between two other things, what are the two other things that
poison
you want them to
and
know?
Not poison?
Yeah, that's another good thing.
It's a good way of sorting out the ones that don't get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The training, yeah, is involved in the actual thing, in like survival of the fittest.
You see, this is, I think people, there's a lot of people out there who get paid. Well, we used to have a section called you get paid to do that, because there are a lot of people doing these tests and experiments, humans or animals, that obviously get a grant from some government or the EU
Arts
or something.
Arts Council. That's what it is.
Lottery funded.
They had to get Arts Council funded, so yeah. They had to make it about art.
Oh, that's it. Picasso or Monet. Okay, well, if you want to know the temperature... This is the next section.
Oh, you know, right,
yeah, yeah, no, sorry.
Of a pigeon.
If you want to know the temperature. Now, what if you want to know the temperature, but you're nowhere near a thermometer, but you're near to a cricket?
Well, if the cricket is lying on its back with a handkerchief over its head.
Yeah, is it going browner and browner?
And a cool
is it
drink?
On fire?
Yeah. Yeah. Is then it spontaneously combusted? Or is it...
If the cricket is shivering?
Yeah, cricket's shivering. Yeah.
It's below zero?
This is another... scientists have found out.
Is it centigrade or Fahrenheit?
Do you know to know literally what the temperature actually is?
It's Fahrenheit.
Is it something to do with the cricket rubbing its back legs together?
Kinda.
To do with the vibration in... We give up, don't we?
Well,
we're dying to find out, Georgina.
Yeah, okay. You count the number of chirps it does in 15 seconds, and then you add 37, and that's the temperature of the room / beach / holiday decking, wherever you are. In Fahrenheit, yeah. Or in centigrade, if I got that horribly wrong. Which one's the big
That means
number?
It's
that's
always
Fahrenheit.
At least 37 something. Is Fahrenheit 37 at... Celsius zero or something.
Yeah.
Anyone know science? Does anyone know science?
Does anyone know what 37 is? No, no one knows what that is.
Because how do you know if
it's
under?
It's about 2 degrees.
But how can you tell if it's a minus? How can you do a minus? How can they do a minus amount of
chirps? Well, you wouldn't be near a cricket because a cricket wouldn't be chirping anywhere if it was like minus. It wouldn't be out, would it? I think crickets surely only ever come out when it's slightly warm. I could be making up. I don't know enough about crickets to say, but I do know that if you count the amount of chirps it does in 15 seconds, then add 37 to it, that's the temperature.
So if you had more than one cricket, say you had three crickets,
yeah, how do you
would they be chirping at exactly the same moment in unison if it was the same temperature?
If you've got more than one cricket, you have to separate that cricket from the other crickets.
Well, there's nothing obvious about it.
Take it to a place where you can only hear that one cricket, because otherwise you're just going to get mushed up in your head, aren't you? You take the cricket away from its mates, you take it to another place.
You have a quiet word.
And you say to it, I want the temperature out there, but that's where all your mates are. So you take it to somewhere which is a similar temperature, or you just look at a thermometer, I guess. We've all got those on our phones now, haven't we?
You know that the item about guessing how many flies there are in the jar has gone away now. Next week, why don't we get some crickets in a jar?
Okay.
And test this out.
Yes. See what the temperature in the room is.
Put it in a fridge.
Where do you get a cricket in Crouch End?
Pet shop.
Beyond the bike sheds. Cricket dealers. You've got your vape heroin people in there as well.
Some people eat them, so you might be able to get them in M&S.
Oh, it'll be a pet shop. Yeah. Seriously. Serious answer, guys.
There's a cricket pet club shop down the road. You probably get one there.
Cricket club. Wrong sort of club, unfortunately.
Wouldn't that be great, though, if you could actually just see how many times Jeff Boycott or whatever.
How
Is
many
that a
thwack, thwacks on...
Rubbed his legs together.
...of the willow on leather you hear in every 15 seconds.
Yeah, and then add 37. That would be the general temperature in Britain all the time. Mm. In 1924, a Labrador was sentenced to life without parole at Eastern State Penitentiary for killing the governor's cat. It actually went to prison. It went to a genuine prison.
I'm not surprised.
I think it should have gone to the chair.
Are Labradors normally sentenced with parole?
It was going to go to the chair, but it wasn't allowed on the chair. Now, you saw that coming, didn't you? You saw me thinking that.
Did you
that.
Set it up? That's nice. That's very generous if you set it up.
No, he set himself up.
All right.
Okay. I'm not surprised, though. I've read a wonderful book called The History of Torture, and there's a bit, there's a whole chapter about them to find in medieval times, especially, they would sentence animals.
Yes.
There was a pig that ate a baby. Yeah. And they took it to court, but they dressed them as humans. They'd put them in people's clothes in order to try them. And there was a dog, and they nailed it to a chair, so it was sat in the chair properly. And they sliced its face off and put a human mask on it.
No
way!
So
they could try it in court.
Oh my
and they didn't even know it was guilty at that point. That was just to get it to trial.
Did it get off?
I don't know. I don't think
they sent it to the sheepdog trials,
maybe, or the horse trials for grooming, exposing their tackle.
Oh, there's I like this fact. I don't know, it just appealed to me that a small child could swim through the veins of a blue whale.
Oh,
don't you think that sounds like the world's best theme park?
Ooh.
And how small is the child? It says a small child. I'm now picturing like a little, like a child going through the veins of a whale and thinking, woo!
That's extraordinary.
Like a flume.
Like a log flume, but in the whale's veins.
That beats swimming with dolphins, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, swimming inside,
swimming inside a whale.
Inside a fish. Have you ever swum with dolphins, Adam?
No, never really appealed to me. I was given the option.
Really?
Turn it down.
I
went shopping instead.
Because their mouth is perfectly shaped to bite your dick off. Clean off. That's why I'd never go swimming with dolphins.
Yeah. When you did that, you did. Oh, because how tiny was it perfectly shaped?
Tiny little mouth.
What? No, but what's the shape of it? How?
Because it's imagine a dolphin's fat mouth.
Yeah.
That's dick shape, and that's just going to nip it off. Shoop, straight off. As soon as you look at
that's what you think of when you look at a dolphin.
Yeah,
you
that's trying to come.
That's a dick biter.
I don't want like
you're
as with the finger
to do it naked,
thing.
I don't think.
They'll strip you. They'll strip your dolphins. We've already discussed they make love for fun.
What to try you in dolphin court?
Yeah.
They dress you like a dolphin.
Yeah, bite your dick off.
I was bite your dick off so you're more dolphin-like.
I was once filming in SeaWorld in Orlando, and a terrible tropical storm blew up, and I was hiding underneath a tree from the storm with a comedian called Tom Binns, who I'd been filming with. And all these dolphins started to surround us because the tree that we were hiding under was right next to the water. And these dolphins all popped their heads up out of the water and started screaming, desperately screaming at us. It's quite terrifying, in fact. And when the rain eased off a little bit, we ran for the crew bus. And we got into the crew bus and we said to the dolphin wrangler that we'd just been filming with, we said, what was going on with the dolphins? Why were they screaming at us? And he said the dolphins were warning you not to stand underneath the tree because you would get struck by lightning. The dolphins were worried that... No, this is true.
I have a very sceptical expression
this
on my face.
This is a true story. This is a true story. The dolphins were so intelligent, they were worried that me and Tom Binns were going to get struck by lightning.
See, hiding under a tree, that's like QI level knowledge. Like that's I didn't know that before I'd seen an episode of QI, that you shouldn't stand under a tree or something. How did they know that?
And why did the dolphins think you and Tom Binns were worth saving?
I'm
worth saving.
How many times has dolphins seen lightning strike trees to know that that's a normal thing for lightning to do?
Apparently it never strikes the same place twice.
Yeah, exactly.
So they must move around a lot.
So they must have seen that tree get hit. They're stupid.
They've seen a tree getting hit, and so they think, well, okay, I'll warn them.
Had they seen his most recent TV show, they probably they would have just let him get hit by...
That's what I'm thinking.
I confused a dolphin once at Windsor Safari Park. When they used to... When
you show it your dick and then put it away.
How'd you confuse a dolphin?
I went up and I made my patented impression. You see if you can tell what this is.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Dolphin
nice.
With a Geiger counter. Nice.
Not bad.
You can earn money doing that, can't you? Oh.
And I did that, and this dolphin, to a dolphin, and it like started acting really erratically. And then when it did its little dolphin show, it fucked up its moves. I think it was thinking, I must have slagged it off.
That's just cruelty.
Yeah. That's mental cruelty to animals.
Well, at least you didn't punch it in the mouth, anyway.
Well, at least it didn't bite my dick off.
Any good dolphin stories in the band at all? Any guys? Any,
met any dolphins?
Any swimming with dolphins? Any
dolphins? Anyone had the dick bitten off by a dolphin?
A drummer's a dolphin, actually, but we couldn't set the studio up for him to have water here, so he's not here tonight.
Got any songs about dolphins?
Not yet.
That would have been brilliant if they had, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
if they'd just been able to segue into a dolphin song.
I've seen a pub called the Cocky Dolphin.
Oh.
And I think that it's
that's
named
just
after...
You're obsessed
got a
with
dick
the word...
hanging out of his mouth.
Dick, dolphin. Those words go together for you.
So I think it's time for some more music, and it's time to say thank you very much to Adam Green and to James and to the lovely Georgina for
thank
joining
you.
Us once again. And we will leave you with yet another song from Orphan Colours.
This is called Ramblin' Rose.
At the Crypt, written and presented by James Shakeshaft, Georgina Salby and me, Brian Muff. Our special guests were Adam Green and Orphan Colours. Audio engineer was Adam Stokes. Monkey Fingers at the Crypt was produced by Brian Muff and Ricky Barber for Bleach Productions. I could be your